Insight Now has a dedicated live channel on SBS On Demand. That means episodes of Insight play back-to-back non-stop. Go to SBS On Demand, scroll down to the featured live channels, and then select Insight. It's that easy.
You're listening to SBS News.
Australia and the European Union have signed a landmark $10 billion trade and security pact to eliminate industrial tariffs and strengthen cooperation on cyber and maritime defence. The Prime Minister has hailed it as an economic win, but the deal has faced criticism from the National Party regarding agricultural access. SBS Chief Political Correspondent Anna Henderson has been talking to National Party leader Matt Canavan about their objections to the deal and also about the government's actions over the fuel crisis.
Matt Canavan, thanks for joining me.
Very good to be with you.
Can I start by asking you whether or not you and Angus Taylor are on the same page with this? You've been highly critical, particularly on red meat. Do you know, does the opposition leader share your concern?
We have discussed this internally, and it's a position of the Liberal and National parties that this is not a good deal for Australia, certainly not a good deal for Australian farmers. And, of course, that position is exactly the same position as the Australian farming community have expressed. I mean, I've never seen a response like it to a free trade deal. We've seen farm groups call this pathetic, appalling, a horrendous outcome, a kick in the guts. And that's the good reviews. I mean, this has been absolutely trounced. It has no friends. And the basic principle should be that if a deal is not good for Australia, then we shouldn't sign the deal.
I mean, the Trade Minister says it's opened up access for Australian red meat exports. How is that not being embraced?
Well, I'll say two things about that. One, the National Farmers Federation have made the point that this is not any meaningful access, so it's nothing to pop champagne over. But worse...
Or Prosecco.
Worse. Well, or Prosecco indeed. Worse, and you're not going to have cheese with it either, because this has done real damage to Australia's cheese industry. Through this deal, a tariff will be removed on EU cheese. The government seems completely ignorant of the fact that the European cheesemakers get $17 billion a year in subsidies from the European Union. The average cheesemaker in Europe gets 30% of its income from government support. And what the government has done by removing that protective tariff that was put in place to counter those ridiculous subsidies the EU has, what have they have done is completely thrown our cheese industry to the wolves. They're going to be eaten alive by this subsidised EU product, and this deal does nothing, nothing to roll back the behind-the-border protective measures the EU has had for years in massively subsidising its own farmers.
On the flip side, the argument around the consumer angle here is that Australians are going to get access to cheaper European
cheese
products. Is that not a good thing, that it's not as expensive in a cost-of-living reality to get European products more cheaply?
Well, we're not going to make much gains on that because we don't put many tariffs on European goods to start with. There are basically no tariffs on European products, except for very few exceptions like the cheese example. But, again, is the proposition of the government that we should put out of business Australian businesses. We have great cheese industry in this country. I like Australian cheese. I try and buy Australian cheese whenever I can. But the government's position there is that, okay, no, we can sacrifice the jobs, the businesses in that very, very good Australian industry, and just for the sake of what? A $4 bit of brie? I don't think it's a good trade. And if it's not a good trade for Australia, we shouldn't be doing it.
You've had a lot of experience in this area. You've had experience as a cabinet minister. Isn't it a reality that every trade deal requires compromise? Some industries are upset, but overall, what do you think of the deal?
Well, it's not a good deal on the history of how we've made free trade deals as a country. And the NFF made this point as well, that this really throws out the history of Australia holding out for what is real free trade, not fake free trade. This deal only removes tariffs on less than 95% of tariff lines. Now, the Australian government has said before that anything that doesn't do at least 95% should not be called a free trade deal. It should not be done because it's inconsistent with the regional trade agreements obligations we have under the WTO. The trade deals we have signed in recent years, actually all of them, have all been 98, 99, 100% of tariff lines tariff-free. The government needs to explain why it signed such a subpar deal which goes below 95%. The only other agreement that's like it in recent years is the Indian agreement, but we didn't call that a free trade agreement for that reason. For that reason, we called it an economic cooperation agreement. So maybe the government could have gone down that path and been up front, but instead it's tried to pull the wool over the eyes of the Australian public and Australian farmers by by trying to paint this up as being a free trade deal where it's not that at all.
You're making a lot of noise over this deal, but is it too late? Like, is there anything that can be done now to in any way rectify what you say the problems?
It has to go through the Parliament.
But the government has the numbers.
Well, let's see what the Greens do. Are they going to protect the Australian cheese industry?
Now, so you'll be lobbying the Greens to join with you?
Well, let's wait and see. I'm not going to rubber stamp this deal. I'm going to let it go through the normal processes. I mean, I hope the government's position is that their position is not that the Joint Standing Committee on Treaties has no role and the Parliament has no role. They'll just do what they like. They can't do that. This has to go to the Joint Standing Committee on Treaties. There are serious questions that our farming industry has raised, that I'm raising with you, that I will raise in the committee. And if we do come to a position that this should be opposed, maybe we should keep that protective tariff to protect our cheese industry. Of course I'll be lobbying the Greens, I'll be lobbying everybody, I'll be lobbying the government to see the error of its ways and protect Australian jobs and industry rather than sell us out just because they want to deal with another country.
Okay, and just on fuel, we've seen some reporting today around at least an idea for a $40 fuel cap, which apparently wasn't well received by the government. But do you think there was merit in that kind of a suggestion?
Well, look, I'm just not sure how much that will make a difference because won't people just go and fill up again at the next place? I mean, it'll probably use more fuel because you'll be driving between the petrol stations every time you hit the $40 cap. So I'm not sure about the merit in that. But what is more important here is the government needs a plan and they don't seem to have one. They are saying this is a national crisis now after refusing to use that term for more than a week. Well, if it's a national crisis, where is the plan to match that situation? Yes, they've released a bit of fuel or lowered some standards to do so, but there is clearly a serious need here to think very deeply about what must be done if the boats don't turn up. And I think the Australian people would just accept a government that was straight with them. But I think from day dot here, the government has not been straight with the Australian people. They're trying to get through the next 24-hour media cycle rather than plan for the next 24 months for Australia about how we can keep our country moving.
Can I just very briefly ask you on fuel rationing? There's been a lot of pressure for the government at state and federal level to consider that, but what do you think is the logistical reality of putting something like that in place from a standing start in Australia?
Well, that's why there should be planning done now. The government says there's more than enough fuel for us today, so I and the coalition are not calling for rationing to start today, but it's pretty clear if we have a serious interruption to our fuel supply, which is a potential outcome, that something like that will have to be considered. There's only two ways you can make sure that demand meets a lack of supply. One is you just let the price go to the moon, and that will ration, but it will ration in a way which means only rich people can afford it. Or the government steps in and decides what industries are critical, what do we need to keep the country going, what do we need to make sure people still have health products, etc. And that latter piece, as I said before, I don't get the impression the government's doing that planning. They're just hoping and praying this all goes away. And that's not a way to approach something as serious as this.
We'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Insight Now has a dedicated live channel on SBS On Demand. That means episodes of Insight play back-to-back non-stop. Go to SBS On Demand, scroll down to the featured live channels, and then select Insight. It's that easy.